Everyone, welcome back to the Cage Siders. Jeremy Long here in the Fox Sports 98.9 FM, 1340 AM studios, doing our thing. You know, pro wrestling fans, this is a big weekend in the city of Vegas. We have Ring of Honor returning once again for their 16th anniversary pay-per-view, as well as a subsequent TV taping. And, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun like it always is with Ring of Honor. Some of the best action you'll see inside the squared circle. On the line with me today, Mr. Kenny King. Kenny, how are you today?
Oh, man, I'm doing great, brother. How are you?
Oh, man, rocking and rolling. Can't wait for this show, man. Back-to-back shows at Samstown Casino. This is going to be a lot of fun. If fans aren't aware, tell them what's going on this weekend.
Well, fans aren't aware, Ring of Honor is celebrating its 16th birthday this weekend with a pay-per-view on Friday, and we're having TV taping on Saturday. I mean, that's such a big milestone because, you know, for the longest time, Ring of Honor was the little promotion that could, you know, or the promotion just, you know, it was the underdog, it was a little guy. But now, 16 years in with the global presence that we have, Ring of Honor is amongst, you know, the leaders in professional wrestling.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And what a, you know, about, I'm going to say the last year, year and a half, 2 years, Ring of Honor, along with New Japan, you guys have just been really on fire bringing, I don't even dare call it the indie scene anymore because you guys are out there doing your own thing.
Well, I mean, there is. It's not an independent. You know, you can't call it Ring of Honor an independent promotion
right.
When you have, you know, Sinclair Broadcasting is our parent company. So
right.
When you look at the, you know, and you look at the financial backing, the financial statistics behind Sinclair Broadcasting, and the amount of just leeway and the amount of trust they have in us and Joe Koff and the amount that they care about the company. It's not, you know, there's not an indie. And I don't think since I've been back, you know, the venues are bigger and better. And the fact of the matter is, you know, we're damn near sold out every show. So at that point, it's not an indie. If people are seeking you out to get Ring of Honor and to become a part of the Ring of Honor product. So, you know, again, I think that, you know, obviously WWE is what WWE is, but when you're looking at an established professional wrestling product, you know, the clear number two is Ring of Honor.
Yeah, absolutely. And so most fans, you know, their introduction or their, you know, they may know WWE, they may know the storylines going on there and the wrestlers inside the ring there. But if they've never experienced a Ring of Honor show or anything, what separates, as far as the in-ring work, as far as the atmosphere, what separates a Ring of Honor from a WWE?
Well, you know, when you say those things like number one and number two, you have to realize, like, you know, WWE is the monolith. It's the, you know, the production and the this, and that's what they pride themselves on. You know, they call themselves an entertainment company.
Right.
So they are the top notch in what they do with as far as the presentation and the production. And, you know, it feels like a spectacle when you go to some of these WWE shows. And Ring of Honor, I guess the focus, we do all of that, but we do it in the ring. So the same way that WWE goes all out with their production and they go out with the presentation of, you know, their show, that's the kind of attention to detail. And that's the kind of the level of competition that you see in Ring of Honor Wrestling. There's a difference between World Wrestling Entertainment and Ring of Honor Wrestling. We're not an entertainment company. We're made up of pro wrestlers, and we are the best in our field of what we do.
You know, go ahead.
There's the second thing there. I've been, you know, I've had the privilege and the honor to wrestle a lot of different places. But there's the thing about the Ring of Honor that makes it different, the electricity. The crowd is emotionally involved in everything that happens. I mean, they, you know, whether they, it's not so much, you know, cut and dry. People like who they like and they boo who they want to boo, whether it's a quote-unquote good guy or a bad guy, but everybody is invested. And the level of emotional intensity that, you know, when people are banging on the guardrails and chanting and those things, you can't find that at any level event other than the Ring of Honor.
Now let's take it back. Now you've been in the game for a while. Now going back to that decision, man, I know you had planned. You live here locally, right, in Vegas. You had planned to go to UNLV, play football, you know, do your thing there. What kind of led to this career that is not on the, I guess, quote unquote, beaten path for everyone? It's not like you go to your guidance counselor and go, "Hey, I'm going to be a professional wrestler." What led you to this decision?
Well, I had no idea. You know, I always liked pro wrestling, but I was going to play football because it's, you know, how do you become an astronaut? How do you become a pro wrestler? It's not like today where you can get on the internet and find, you know, 6 or 7 pro wrestling schools in any city. I would have had no idea how I would have been able to find a pro wrestling school if it wasn't for Tough Enough. And I can remember watching it my freshman year in college, and then when I transferred to UNLV, opening up the newspaper and seeing the ad, "Are you tough enough? Are you ready for Tough Enough too?" And, you know, I remember watching the first one, saying, "Oh man, I can do that. Those guys aren't even athletes." And then, you know, getting the opportunity to try for Tough Enough too was really me putting my money where my mouth was.
Like, those guys aren't even athletes. I like it, man.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's just the way that I felt when I was looking at it.
Yeah, right. So you're looking at it, and you're like, okay, I can see myself doing this. And once you got into it and started getting trained, I know you've been trained by a number of guys, Al Snow and Chavo Guerrero and these guys. What about that? What about the perception changed for you in the most dramatic way?
Well, I think it was just the fact that every time that I learned something, my perception of the business changed like a whole new, there's so much to this that you just never know. And every time you open up a new chapter, there's like a whole nother world of stuff that you had no idea that was the reason for what you were seeing. So I think that was initially why I just fell in love with it, because, you know, you see something on TV or you go to a show and you see it and you just kind of see the surface of it. But when you break down the whys and, okay, now if you do this and you do this and you do this, you'll get this reaction, mm-hmm. and you do it for yourself and you see it happen, and, you know, it happens the first couple of times and you really don't understand it. But once you start to understand it, then you can do different things. So there's so much more artistically and even like cerebrally to professional wrestling that I had any idea. And that's what really drew me in, because it's hard physically, but it's very hard mentally. And to do this thing well, you have to be very, very sharp mentally.
Now, being in the game for a number of years now, how do you continue to keep things fresh with yourself, with your in-ring work and things like that? How do you mix things up to keep it fresh?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's really the challenge. This makes my November makes 17 years
right.
of professional wrestling for me. So when you have guys like Ricochet and Will Ospreay and Cedric Alexander, who, you know, I always considered myself an agile guy, and these guys can do things that I'm like, man, I would have never been able to do that even with young knees. You know, you just have to, the key to longevity is to reinvent yourself, but not to stay too far from what made you successful in the first place. So, you know, keeping things maybe relevant to what's going on right now, and mm-hmm. just keeping your stamp on the things that you're, you know, because you just can't stay one way forever. You have to kind of go through different iterations in order to stay successful. People aren't going to want to, you know, there's only one Hulk Hogan or Stone Cold who can kind of be one way for his entire career. I mean, even Hogan had to turn heel, and then that blew right. his career, you know, that took his career to new heights.
Right.
So, you know.
Well, you know, after you, like you said, you know, you've been in it for 17 years, and all professional sports are, you know, you look at it from a certain standpoint, and it's a young man's game. You know, I mean, what keeps you motivated 17 years in to do this, you know, grueling sport that you do?
Well, because as much as it is a young man's game physically, you don't the cruel choke and the curse of professional wrestling is you don't get good at this until you've been doing it a long time.
Right.
So that's kind of what it is the ability and it's to kind of challenge yourself and to say it, man, okay, well, what am I going to do new, and how am I going to keep myself fresh, and how am I going to keep myself relevant to where a company will want to invest money in me and sign me to contracts and things like that. There's, you know, what people forget is there's a whole lot of professional wrestlers, a whole lot of dudes that are lacing up their boots on the weekends and going in there. And you know, I mean, it's a lot of guys, and it's only a very small percentage of the few fortunate, the blessed ones that you get to see all the time. So, that's not by accident. You know, you have to continue to make yourself valuable. So for me, what keeps me going. If I feel like I can't get better at this, then that's what I'll get done. You know, it's one of the two. When my body says, hey, bud, we're done. Or if I feel like, you know what, I don't know if I can get any better, then it's time for me to put myself into something else. But I still feel like every day I can get better.
We're talking to Kenny King, star at Ring of Honor Wrestling. They're going to be at Sam's Town Casino this weekend for a couple of TV and pay-per-view tapings. Let's kind of look at what's happening with the, in parallel to the men, the women's area of the sport, the Women of Honor. They're having their championship tournament to crown their first female Ring of Honor champion. You see whatever's, you know, all the stuff that's going on at WWE with the women, you know, a lot of firsts there with the Royal Rumble match and all these things. From the outside looking in as a male professional wrestler, what, I guess, are the thoughts when you see your counterparts doing their things, you know, coming off and having a lot of firsts over the last year and a half, 2 years in the sport?
Well, it makes me very happy to see, because I know a lot of these ladies put in as much work as the men do. And, you know, for a long time, they were relegated to just being divas or valets.
Right.
I'm one of the best female wrestlers I've ever seen. Sarah Del Rey, and you know, even though Sarah is a coach over at NXT and at the Performance Center, I would love to see Sarah Del Rey during time, because she was phenomenal at a time where girls weren't really encouraged to be great wrestlers. And now all these women are out here trying to be great wrestlers, and not just, well, I mean, yeah, looking good is part of the business for men and for women, but you also have to have, you know, that has to be part of your package. That just can't be the whole thing. And with what's happening at WWE, what's happening with our women, it's really inspiring, you know, women to get better. And that's only better for the whole sport.
Now, you're living out here in Vegas, like we mentioned. Who are your teams, by the way? Football, basketball, who do you follow?
Well, I'm a, I got ulcers. I'm a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan.
Oh.
And I'm an Orlando Magic basketball fan, so
torture.
I don't talk. I'm like an old beaten mule, bro. I don't even bark too much during the season anymore.
You do have a chance for redemption. I mean, we're getting the Raiders here, man. Are you going to switch allegiance?
We are getting the Raiders. I'm definitely going to switch allegiance. But what I will do is I will adopt them, because they've come to my hometown, where I live now, and I will. It will finally give me a reason to buy a Marquette King jersey. So
I like it, man. So you're not a turncoat. You're gonna stick with the original team, but you will adopt the home team.
No, I'm gonna be a Bucks fan. Yeah, you know, how can I have a football team here, and I love football, and I don't at least show them some love, you know?
Right. Well, what do you think about Jameis Winston, man? Do you think he's the truth? Do you think he's gonna, you know, eventually lead this franchise to glory?
Man, I go back and forth on Jameis Winston, because on paper, and if you just hear him talk, absolutely, he's the truth. The kid is a leader. He's got all the tools. I mean, physically, we don't even talk about it. He's A-plus across, you know, across the board. But does he have it mentally? I don't know. I do know that I've never seen Tom Brady suck on his fingers and make a W in a pregame speech before, and that's kind of when I lost all hope for our season. When I was like, did you just suck your – okay, yeah. All right, well, we're done. Thank
that
you.
That was bizarre.
But I will say this. I do believe that he's not – I believe that he hasn't been – I kind of feel like he falls in the same category as an Alex Smith or a Kaepernick, where – the right coach could complete them as a quarterback.
Right.
Jim Harbaugh screwed up Alex Smith and Colin Kaepernick in one fell swoop because he was in the process of completing them as a quarterback, and then he just left them. I feel like that's what happened with Lovie Smith. I feel like Jameis Winston and Lovie Smith had a great understanding of one another, and I feel like that's when Jameis was making his progress. Mm-hmm. And then when we had Shiano, he fell backward, and then Cutter, he's making no progress, even though he's got Sean Jackson and Mike Evans. It's going to ultimately come up to, you know, he's got to be the one to want it. But I think he can do it. I hope he can do it.
Well, I mean, you would know. I mean, the proper coach, the proper trainers can, you know, literally, you know, launch you forward or set you back.
Absolutely, man. It's coaching is everything. I didn't really understand that until, you know, it applied to my life. But good coaching, bad coaching, it's everything.
Now, before we let you go, man, what do you think about this transition here in Las Vegas where maybe 2 years ago we didn't have any sports teams to think of, and now all of a sudden we got soccer, we got hockey, we got football coming here? I mean, what when you look at Vegas, the Vegas landscape, man, you know, does that kind of blow your mind?
Yeah, because I first moved here in 2001,
right.
And I remember when you couldn't even bet on Sacramento Kings games at the Palms. So it was a thing with the Maloof brothers. So there was a thing, the whole underlying thing was, oh, they'll never get sports teams here because they don't want all these people not gambling. They want them in the arena. They don't want them in the arenas. They want them in the casinos. The T-Mobile Arena proved a lot of people wrong. And it's going to be very interesting to see how this helps. I mean, if it helps the economy in Las Vegas, that's really the most important thing. I mean, it's, you know, we all know how sports teams can come and be a drain on the economy. And I'm not, for, you know, political and financial reasons, I'm not the biggest fan of the Raiders coming here because I feel like we in Vegas need a lot of help in, like, schools, and there's a lot of different things that we could be spending money on other than a sports team. Right. But that's a different rant for a different day. But if it's something that will help us as a city, then, yeah, man, I'm all for it. I'm a big Las Vegas Knights fan already because I just like hockey, and now we have a hockey team here.
I like it, man. Before we let you go, final plug for the Ring of Honor pay-per-view and TV taping this weekend, Samstown Casino. Still a few tickets left for Saturday's show for the TV taping. Friday, I believe, is all sold out. But, Kenny, you know, fans might be listening, man, and trying to decide whether they want to go. What's your go-home talk to them?
Well, listen, it just comes down to this. This is our birthday, okay? This is ROH wasn't even supposed to make it 3, 4 years, 5 years. ROH has been in it for comparison. ROH has been in business longer than ECW and WCW. So all we do is continue to get better year after year. The card, Jay Lethal at the top of the card, is the world championship match with Jay Lethal from Dalton Castle. Mm-hmm. I'll be defending my world television championship against Silas Young. We've got the Young Bucks against SoCal Uncensored. Mm-hmm. So I mean, if you know anything about Ring of Honor, you know that we're going to bring fireworks on Friday.
Cannot wait. You guys always do. It always delivers. You owe it to yourself, fans, to get out there to Sam's Town, take in one of these shows, both of these shows preferably, and have a lot of fun with Kenny King and the rest of the Ring of Honor stars. Kenny, thank you so much for taking time out. I know you're a busy man, but pretty soon, man, we're going to have you live in studio. You got to chop it up with us for a full hour.
I'm down, bro. Let me know when.